Okay, we're going to come out of this series starting in Sufficient Grace, talking about limitations. Let's read the Word of God in 2 Corinthians. It says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations." Paul had been taken up to the third heavens. Paul had been shown by God these mighty, marvelous things that he was not even permitted to talk about. He heard things he could not repeat. And obviously, when God is going to use somebody in the ministry and be the person who pens the revelation of God, that which would become the Word of God, the Bible, he has to personally show you and reveal to you what he's saying, right? Paul didn't get this stuff from some man. He said himself, he got these things directly from God himself. Now, life was going good. Things were going wonderfully for Paul, being caught up into the third heavens. And then he says, "A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, a buffeter from Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." Essentially, God was allowing Paul to understand that he had insufficiencies, that he was limited. And it was important for Paul to live a life where he had limitations, lest he would be caught up believing that he's more than he is and losing his reliance upon God. Amen? How many of you know the best place to be is being in total reliance upon God? Come on, now talk back to me. Come on, I believe in a participatory church, right, Susie? See, Susie knows. I always say this, it's kind of funny, but it's actually really true. Do you know that the demand that you put on the preacher or the worshipers, the more of a demand you have for us, the more the anointing is pulled out of us, right? Come on, some of you worshipers, you know what I'm talking about. When there's a demand, there's something that the Holy Spirit's doing where it just pulls it out of you, and there's an anointing that falls. So as hungry as you are, and as you come in with all kinds of things going on in your lives, I want you to just really engage with us this morning, because God wants to meet you here. He wants to speak to you, and I'll be a better preacher, and we'll get out of here quicker, okay? Amen. It says, "Unless I should be exalted," let's go to the next scripture. "Concerning this thing," concerning this thorn in my side, "I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me." How many know that's exactly where God wants you? God wants you in your life where you're calling out to him, crying out to him, pleading with him. He called out 3 times. Obviously, God was not answering him. Have you ever had God not answer you? And so you cry out again and again, and he's crying out to God, and God is positioning Paul exactly where he wants him, which is a place of humility and dependence. "He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness.'" Now, we could preach sermons on that little phrase for the rest of our lives, but I believe that this phrase, this statement from Jesus, is actually everything that the Christian life encompasses. The Christian life is total reliance upon God, and it's his grace making itself sufficient in our lives wherever we are weak. "Therefore, I most gladly would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now, Paul had reached a point of understanding, not just intellectually, but actually living this thing out, where Paul now was rejoicing and boasting in his limitations. In other words, Paul truly saw and believed that where he was weak, the Lord was strong. Where he was limited, God's power would be more manifested, right? Yeah. Amen. So this is so counterintuitive. There's a counterintuitive nature to God. It would seem natural that the stronger we are, the better off we are. But in fact, the Bible says the weaker we are, the stronger we are. And the stronger we are in our own intellect and our own abilities and our own natural resources and our own way about making life work, the weaker we really are. And there's just something that, how many know God can take you higher than you can take yourself? Amen? If you think you know everything, God can't teach you anything. But if you are dependent on him for more knowledge, more wisdom, more revelation, he can feed you more, because there's a demand and he is the supplier of that demand. Amen? He says, therefore, I most gladly would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, and persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, it's then that I am strong. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. I thank you for lively stones in here this morning. I thank you for an interactive crowd. I thank you for a people that are ready to hear your word and to receive your word. And I pray that every word that comes out of my mouth will be customized for your people, that it would take root in the hearts of your people, produce a mighty harvest. I pray that every unspoken need would be met. I pray that everything that's bothering us, everything that's weighing us down, those things that have us shackled or confused or scared or areas where we feel uncertain, Father, this morning, Lord, I'm asking that you would release your wisdom, that you would release your faith, and that you would equip and empower your people where they are weak and limited. Let the church say a hearty amen. Amen. All right, so I found myself last night struggling. Has anybody found themselves struggling in their lives from time to time? You know, it wasn't that there was anything weird happening or anything unexpected happening. It was simply the culmination of life coming to a point where I had lost my step, where I had ran out of steam, where I didn't know what to do, and it all happened right here in this building at about 8:30 p.m. last night. Now, what happened is we had a big day. We had kind of a picnic outside all day, and there were things that I was working on. Now, if you don't know me, I'm bivocational, at least for the time being. I'm bivocational. I work a 40-hour week job or plus. I run the marketing for Coldwell Banker Bain. It's a large real estate company. And I do that. I drive to Bellevue every day. How many know Enumclaw to Bellevue is not the funnest drive in the world? Upwards of almost 3 hours a day, I'm on the road. But I do telecommute from time to time, which helps. So I'm busy. I'm a very, very busy person. And here we're launching this church. Now, we are in infancy form. If those of you who are here for the first time or just kind of been here a few times, we are in infancy form. We're at about 70 people. There's about 50 people in the first service. It's about 20, 25 here in the second service. So we started with 18 people in January 2017. Okay, 18 people. We are almost quadrupled in size, which means that, you know, it could take years to do that. God is expediting growth here. And for those of us who have been here from the beginning, we feel it, we know it, we sense what's going on, and we're excited about it. And so God is doing this thing, and I'm in a season of life where I am bivocational. I'm probably working upwards of 70 hours a week. There are church meetings. There's sermon prep. There's prayer. There's everything. They've got four kids. I mean, come on, somebody. Life is getting heavy. It's heavy-duty stuff. Now, sometimes what happens, now I try to be prepared, but sometimes what happens is I'll end up on a Saturday night, and I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to say the next morning for the message. Come on, somebody. Has anybody ever waited till the last second and life has been too hard and too busy, or is it just me? No, it's not just me. Okay. So this is what happened yesterday. Now, a lot of crazy things happened, and I was praying. We had our picnic, and I went to go start studying. I spent 3 hours straight reading the Bible, looking up commentary, studying things online, flipping through the scriptures, and I was getting increasingly frustrated because the longer I was waiting for God to speak to me and bring me clarity on what to say, the less time I had. And it seemed like the sands of the hourglass were just slipping through, time was slipping by, and the longer it took to get clarity from God, the more frustrated I was becoming. And the more frustrated I became, the less I felt like I could hear from God. And then all of a sudden, I'm in this coffee shop, and these musicians come in, and I have to leave. And now it's past 8 o'clock, and I drive right here to the church, and there's nobody in here but me. And I flip the lights on in the sanctuary, and I thought, well, if I'm going to hear from God, probably church is a good place, you know? Maybe he'll speak to me here for crying out loud. So I'm desperate. I'm really desperate. I mean, Annie's my witness. I called her as I was driving over, and I'm like, honey, I don't know what to do. Can you at least pray for me? Are you doing anything? I mean, you're just having fun at home while I'm toiling? Are you praying? Get on your knees and pray. No, I didn't say all that. But the bottom line was, I had reached a point where I was just frustrated and I was done. Now, this is all true. I flip the lights on 8:30 at night. And I start pacing, and I start, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I just really started talking to God, you know, getting real with God. And I don't usually do this, but I was just telling him why I was frustrated. I'm like, God, look, you know how much I drive every week. You know the job I work on. You know that I don't have time Monday, Tuesday. I'm not doing this full time. I need you to speak to me. Now, here's what's frustrating from a guy like me. I've been preaching for many years, and there are so many times when I'm just, hey, God, what should I preach about? Bing! And instantaneously, he shows me a scripture, or he just impresses it upon me, and it's like, this is so easy. God, this is so easy. We can do this all my life. I can do this. This is the easiest thing in the world. But why, God, lastly, it's my prayer, why aren't you doing that for me now? Because I have less time than I've ever had, right? The hours are dwindling by. I had to be at these other events. I didn't have time, and you're not saying anything to me. I don't get it. So I was like, God, here's the thing. I'm running out of time. Now, last night, I was sleeping, and I actually didn't get good sleep the night before. Last night, I was praying about the night before. My kids both jumped in bed with us. It got crazy in that bed because Judah started sleeping sideways. And some of you know what it's like when you're up on the edge. There's no blanket. You're sleeping through a miserable sleep. It's like you know you're not comfortable, and you're cold and uncomfortable, but you still sleep. It's like you're half asleep. And then you wake up and you're tired. I was literally yawning last night as I was praying. I was tired. I was like, Lord, this is not working. I don't know why you won't speak to me. So many times you just tell me things and you just tell me what to say. And it's so easy. And now it's like you're not saying a thing. And then I started praying. I'm like, you know what, God? Why don't we have the resources we need for this church? Because if we had the resources, I could be full-time. And I don't have to be bivocational. I could take care of my family. And you know what? You don't want to muzzle the ox while he's plowing. I mean, come on. We're supposed to, the kingdom of God can fund itself, right? I'm like, how come all those other fancy preachers get to study their sermons Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all during the day? That sounds like a dream to me. Could I imagine? I can barely even imagine going to work to study for a sermon. My goodness. I mean, that just sounds too easy. Wow, right? Wow. Too easy. It's like, man, can I be like that, God? You know, well, we don't have the resources yet. We're just going to have to keep growing. And, you know, we'll get there. We'll get there. I am crying out to God. And, I'm frustrated. And I'm finally saying, God, what do you want me to say? And then I started just kind of going back and forth. And I literally felt the presence of God. Now, this is what I'm waiting for as a preacher. Those of you who have been in ministry, you know you're waiting for a release of an anointing from God. And I cannot leave the presence of God until he tells me what to say. That's just the way I am. I'm not going to fake it. I need to be authentic. I need to know and get excited about it and have energy behind it and believe and know, thank you, Lord, you have spoken to me. I know what your people need to hear tomorrow. And as I was crying out to him, I don't have enough time. We don't have the resources. I'm exhausted. I didn't get any sleep, God. He says, finally, preach on that. You know, I had spent the whole morning putting this together. The whole morning. And the first sermon for week one was called Limitations. God had allowed me to press up to the edge of my abilities and go beyond exasperated to where I just said, I give up. What? Amen. Rob, preach that. Because people feel exactly like that in their lives. People feel like they're at the end of their rope. People feel like they're limited in so many ways, because you know what, ladies and gentlemen, we are limited. You aren't God. I'm not God. We're human beings. And because we're human beings, we are by nature limited. God created you limited on purpose. He created you limited so he could be a God that is a source of power and strength and wisdom and provision and revelation and rest and nourishment in your life. That's who he is. That's what he wants to do for you. So he created you limited on purpose. Now, it's not always fun to be limited, is it? It's not always easy to be limited, but that is the nature and the beauty behind what God has done to have this incredible relationship with us, where we are like little children resting in the bosom of our Father, who is nurturing us and caring for us and providing for us. And it takes some type of some experience walking with the Lord until we really learn this. You know, Paul had really reached the point where he took joy and rejoiced in his limitations. I was frustrated about my limitations. So here I am preaching a sermon on the very thing that I need. How are we limited as people? I mentioned most of them. As people, we sleep, right? Did you know sleep is a limitation? You can't be up 24/7 all year long working and doing things. You have to stop and you have to go to bed. We are limited because we get exhausted. We run out of fuel, don't we? We run out of gas. We need to be recharged. Sometimes it's overwhelming. It's just too much for us because we're limited. We're limited because we often lack an understanding about what to say or what to do or what we're supposed to, how we're supposed to put this all together. So we don't know what to do often. That's a limitation. See, because we don't know everything, do we? We don't know everything. We need somebody with more wisdom than us to tell us what to do and to make sense of things. We're limited because we don't have enough time often. Not only do we need sleep, but we don't have the time to do what we need to do. Have you ever felt like that? There's too much on your plate. You've got too many projects. There's too many things. Like, you wish you could spend more time with your kids, but you wish you could take care of the things at the house, or you wish you could do things that you need to do, but you just feel like you're toiling and you're spinning and there's just not enough time for you to do what you need to do. Well, that's because you're limited. You are constrained in the dimension of time because you're human and you're not God. Have you ever felt limited in your resources? Come on, somebody. Is it just me? Have you ever felt limited in your resources? You need more resources. Come on, in your business, in your ministry, in your own personal finances, maybe in your own retirement, you feel like you're behind the eight ball and you don't know if how you're going to do this because there's a limitation in resources in our lives sometimes because we're human. Come on. Sometimes, do you ever feel limited in your ability? Right? Come on, you start a new job and you step into this new opportunity and like you don't know up from down, left from right, and it's like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? I don't even understand what I'm doing. I'm limited in my abilities. Have you ever felt limited in your abilities just to do normal things it seems like other people are so good at? Maybe you're in school and you're struggling and you feel limited in your ability. You know, we all have strengths, but we all have weaknesses. I thank God Shaquille O'Neal couldn't make free throws. See, he would have been crazy dominant if he could make free throws. He was limited. He was so dominant in so many areas, but he was limited and he couldn't make free throws. That was his thorn. It was his weakness. Hack-a-shack. We'll just hack him, and it's a turnover because he can't make a free throw. I mean, he would have been scoring 50 points a night if he could make free throws. Unstoppable. But there's always going to be a limitation in our lives because you're human. You are not God, but you serve a mighty God. And you serve a God with unlimited resources. You serve a God with unlimited wisdom. You serve a God with unlimited time. You serve a God with unlimited love and care and energy and zeal and power and strength, so that wherever you might find yourself limited in any area of your life, there is an all-sufficient God whose grace is sufficient for you, and his power and strength is made perfect in the middle of your limitations and weaknesses. Sometimes you're so weak and limited, you don't even know what to pray anymore. Sometimes you feel so weak and limited, you can't even get up and pray. Have you ever been sick or just down and you just don't even have the energy to do anything anymore, let alone even pray? I read about this preacher, one of these great preachers in England, who reached a point in his life when he started getting older and he was getting sick, and he was a mighty evangelist and preacher, and he reached a point where he literally could not even pray anymore. He couldn't read his Bible anymore. He couldn't even go to church anymore because he was so weak and limited. And he said that it was like he was just a little baby laying there. Couldn't even do any, just could barely even make a sound, just laying in his father's arms, just laying there in the rest and care of God, because he was so weak and so limited in his sickness and in his old age. You see, we have this tendency to turn our limitations and think they're liabilities. Did you know that God, he's so counterintuitive, he's so wise, he's so incredible, God actually makes your limitations and turns them in from a liability into an asset. Come on, somebody. Your limitation is your greatest asset. Think about that for a second. Your limitation is your greatest asset. Because where you are weak, you are actually strongest. You know, Paul said, when I am weak, then it's when I'm really strong. It's then that I am strong. Now, would you rather have your strength or God's strength operating? Now, you are limited because you're a human. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that God is unlimited because he's not human, because he's God. See, God is not like man. God is eternal. God is the creator. God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the champion of the galaxies. He spoke the world into existence. He's outside of time, space, matter, and energy. Is there anything too hard for the living God? Come on, Sarah can laugh about having a son in her old age, and God says, what are you laughing at? What are you worried about? What are you doubting about? Did you not know that I am God? God will use the weaknesses and the limitations of our life just simply to show himself mighty and powerful so that you can know him in a way that you've never known him before. Come on, can I get a witness? Talk back to me. Now, there was a struggling dad. Right? A struggling dad who had a demon-possessed little kid since he was a little kid, and he'd throw himself in the fire, and all these things would happen. He was so hurt. He was so broken. He was so helpless. This dad, I can only imagine how helpless he was to see his little boy thrashing around, acting like a mad person, uncontrollably foaming at the mouth. Jesus, can you help me? I have reached my capacity. There's nothing I can do about this situation. And Jesus says, all things are possible for those who believe in an impossible God. Amen? He told the disciples that all things are possible with God, not with man. See, all things are not possible. This is impossible with man, but it is possible with God. Oh. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards them. Do you know God is literally looking and watching? He's looking for you to have weaknesses. He's looking at your limitations. He's looking at the areas where you're insufficient and you're weak and you can't make it and you're struggling. And he's looking and waiting for somebody who would believe that he would show up and who would cry out to him. And he's wanting to show himself mighty and strong in that person. Amen? Come on. Our greatest blessings in life are when God shows up. When Paul and Silas are imprisoned And they just been beaten by a mob, and they're thrown in the inner dungeon, not the dungeon Martha Stewart was in. The inner dungeon, wet, dark, cold. They were scared. It was bad. There was no bathroom breaks, and they didn't know if they'd be flogged again the next morning and maybe even beheaded. They start crying out to God, and they start praying, and they start worshiping God. That's why we believe in worship here, because we believe worship is a weapon of warfare. So they start worshiping God, and God showed himself strong in the middle of their finite weaknesses and limitations. Amen? He's looking for an opportunity to show himself. Why is that? Why is God looking to show himself strong in your limitations? Because that's where you will know him most clearly. That's where you will discover and live his love like you have never known his love before. When he shows up when no one else could show up, come on, when he comes into your situation when no one else could come into your situation, when he whispers sweet nothings to you and encourages your soul and says what only God knows how to say when no one else knew what to say to you, come on, when he comes in at the very last moments and gives you that breakthrough or that blessing or that provision that you needed and you knew that everything would fall out from under you if God had not come through. Had it not been for the Lord who was on my side, we would have been swallowed up. Amen? When you experience those moments with God, with his power making itself perfect in your weaknesses, you are experiencing God in a way that he wants you to experience him. He wants you to know him. He wants you to rely on him. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to lean on him. He wants you to know that the living God has got your back. That's why it says in James to count it all joy. Because when we go through these things, God is perfecting something in us so that we may be complete, perfect, and lacking in nothing. Shalom. When Jesus walked on water, when the disciples were rowing the boat way out in the middle of the sea, he walked on water to them. He was demonstrating to them that he had power and authority over the wind and waves that were pushing them around. And when you serve a God who not only has authority over the circumstances that are pushing you around, but is willing to walk out and meet you there, you know what he said to those disciples when they were on the boat? He said, hey, be of good cheer. Why? Why should we be of good cheer? I mean, we're 4 miles off course. We're in the middle of a storm. Why am I supposed to be of good cheer again exactly? It is I. It's who? Well, it's I am. I am is here. You can be of good cheer. The waves were still boisterous. The wind was still blowing. The boat was still drifting. And Jesus shows up and says, look, I'm walking on your circumstances. This is nothing for me. This is so easy for me. I'm the God of the wind and waves. I'm the God of your limitations. I'm the God over your weaknesses. I'm the God in everything where you need a God. I am God. And guess what? Be of good cheer in the middle of your waves because I am here. That's where God wants you. That's, in fact, why Jesus could sleep like a baby in the bottom of the boat the previous time there was a storm. Because he knew he had perfect rest and perfect security in the hands of his Father. Where the other disciples were toiling and throwing water off the boat and they woke him up and said, don't you care that we are perishing? Jesus is sleeping like a baby. Why? Because he knew the power of God was perfect in every situation of life. What's more impressive, peace in the storm or calming the storm? You tell me. Let's go quickly through 6 things that are limitations in our lives, just because we're humans. Quickly, we'll go through these quickly. Then you can watch the second half of the Seahawks game on DVR. Don't tell me the score, by the way. If anyone knows, do not tell me the score because I'm going to go home and watch it for the first time. First one is that we sleep, but God never sleeps. Do you know that there's actually limitations in our need to sleep? Well, what do I mean by that? Well, the fact of the matter is that sleep creates a certain vulnerability in our lives, doesn't it? When we are sleeping, we are vulnerable. That's why my family bought a German Shepherd. Because German Shepherds bark loud. And German Shepherds are watching everything. And I know that while I'm sleeping, he'll be barking if somebody tries to get into our house. Amen? That makes me feel better. Because there's a vulnerability when we're sleeping. What else happens when we're sleeping? Well, unless you got a night shift, it's usually nighttime. It's dark. The Bible talks about that there's a terror by night. There are terrifying things that can happen at night. Nighttime is when the creepy things, the bad things, the evil things try to manifest themselves. Amen? So the Bible talks about this. It says in Psalm 121, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. He doesn't sleep because he's not limited. We got the scripture up there. He doesn't sleep because he's not limited. He's not limited by sleep. So when you're sleeping, like Jesus was sleeping in the boat, Jesus knew the Father was watching over him. Right? See, you can watch to your content. You can watch and guard, and you can be on guard and do all of these things. But if it's not for the Lord watching after your affairs, what's the point? There's no point. God is the one who is watching over us while we sleep. And that's why the Bible says we can have a peaceful sleep. We can have a restful sleep. We can go to sleep and enjoy our limitations, knowing that God is powerful and mighty in the middle of our limitations, where we have to go night-night and go to sleep and recharge. That's an awesome thing to know. You know, the Bible even says that God gives you dreams while you're sleeping. God ministers to you while you sleep. God dispatches angels over you while you're asleep. God's watching over you. While you're sleeping, God's loving you and caring for you. Amen? Your limitations, not him, is his limitations. Psalm 91:5, you will not fear the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Things can happen during the day, but there's terror at night. You don't need to fear that anymore. Jesus did not fear the terror of the waves and the wind and the storm in the boat because he knew something. He had a peace that God was watching over him. Number two is God doesn't get exhausted. How many of you are thankful that you serve a God who doesn't get exhausted? Come on. Thank God he does not get exhausted. We get exhausted, don't we? We run out of fuel. We run out of steam. We need to recharge. We get to the point where we cannot make it. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever reached a point in your life where you felt so exhausted you could not take one more step, yet you didn't have a choice? You had to keep going. It's in those moments when you can't take another step, yet you have no choice. It's not like you can drop the kids and just leave them in the house and walk out and go. When they're screaming and they're clawing at you and it's been crazy day after day and you can't take it anymore. Come on, some of you. You know what I'm talking about. You can't take, but you just, what do you do in those moments? How do you get? Have you ever had a season where, you know, you're so tired and you're so worn out and you're so burnt out from your job or your work or situations and you have no choice? You got to pay the bills. You got to keep going. But you've run out of steam. That's happening because you're limited. You're not God. You're human. Isaiah 40, 28 through 29. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. He does not faint or even grow weary. God doesn't even get tired. God doesn't need a second wind. God doesn't need to go on a sabbatical. God doesn't need to recharge. Quite to the contrary, he is the source of your recharging. He is the energy that you need. He is the one who gives you substance and life and recharging and renewal. That's why the Bible says, look, old people, old men, they're going to grow weary and faint. Even young men will stumble and they'll faint and they'll grow. But those who wait upon the Lord, he will renew their strength. It's going to happen. Just keep on living. It's going to happen. I want to encourage you that when you are discouraged or when you feel like you are out of gas, I want to encourage you to just go directly to God. God, I am finished. I am done. I need some grace. I can remember one time I was living in this little studio, and I was ready to move out. I was so tired of this studio, I couldn't take it anymore. It was a 450 square foot studio. That's small. Now, I had this little studio, and I had run out of grace to be in that studio. Come on, we run out of grace for things, people. We run out of grace to be in certain jobs, to be in certain situations. We run out of grace. We run out of energy. We run out of our ability to be okay with the situation. And everything gets uncomfortable. Now, I had to stay there for X amount of months, and I was so done. I didn't even want to go home anymore. And, you know, God just did this simple thing. I was crying out to him and praying. And all of a sudden, these people gave me all this really nice furniture, and I including this really big, really cool TV at the time. I took out all my old furniture, and all of a sudden, I put in all this really cool furniture. All this stuff was just mine. And, like, I'm like, you know what? It's not so bad. I still got the pool back there. You know, I'm living in this condominium complex, and, like, this is kind of neat, actually. And God renewed my grace and my strength to be in that situation until it was time to move. And God bless it, well, there was a time to move. But when you are in between the time to move, where your grace has run out, during that stretch of time, you're going to need God to give you grace and strength in the middle of your limitation. Amen? Amen. Matthew 11, 28 through 29 says, "Come to me," Jesus said, "all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Really quickly, let me just kind of summarize this for you. What Jesus was saying, he was using the analogy of when they would use ox to plow the fields. Now, they would yoke up one ox with another ox, and they'd typically use a more experienced, strong, mighty, powerful ox and yoke it up with a younger, inexperienced, and weaker ox. Now, the reason for that was that this weaker ox and this younger, inexperienced ox could learn the pace, could learn the rhythms of what it means to plow these fields. So sometimes the younger ox would try to run out and sprint ahead, and it'd go too fast, and it would get burnout, and it wouldn't do it properly. So those oxes needed to be held back and needed to be paced correctly. Then there were other younger oxes that didn't have the strength to plow, to push the plow. So they would yoke up the younger, less experienced, weaker ox with the strong, experienced ox, so that the strong, experienced ox would set the pace and would push the plow so that the younger one could keep up and keep going. That's exactly what Jesus has said. Stop plowing your field. Get yoked up with me, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I take the load off you. I don't put the load on you. You guys follow me? Jesus has a way of taking, but there's a rhythm of grace. When you read the Message version of this, it literally says, learn the rhythms of grace. Walk with me. Watch me. Watch how I do this thing. Learn from me. Learn how to walk. Learn how to say yes to the right opportunities and say no to the wrong. Learn how to, when to get away. Learn the rhythms of grace. Don't try to take it up and put everything on your shoulders when you've got a God who's walking and plowing for you. If you're trying to do everything yourself and you're not following God's direction and wisdom and guidance and all these things, the doors he wants to open and the path he wants you to follow, when you are in his will, when you're following in the middle of his grace and the rhythms of what he's doing, do you know he just makes things light and easy? Really? I mean, there's so many things I could toil about and fret about and be worried about and try to make happen around this church. God just brings things into place and situates things the way he wants it at the right time in the right way. And I'm just beginning to learn to sort of kick back a little bit and like, okay, you can do the lifting. I'll just kind of pretend like I'm like plowing as hard as I can, but you're actually doing the heavy lifting. That's what it's all about. There's a grace of God that is sufficient in your limitations when it comes to everything in life. And walking with him is an awesome thing. Number three, God never lacks understanding. You don't know what to do all the time, but God always knows what to do. Doesn't that make you feel good? You know there's a God who knows exactly what's going on with your body, in your mind, with your spouse, with your kids, with your job, with your finances, with everything that could possibly be happening. God knows all of it. He understands it. He sees it. He has all wisdom, knowledge, revelation. He's got it. He's got it all. And here you are, limited in your finite understanding, and you don't know what to do. Well, see, we have a resource called God. And God says in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Three things you need to know. God has the wisdom, and he wants to give it to you. Don't go to Google, go to God. Big G, not little g. When you have some kind of ailment on your body, go to God first, not Google. When you don't know what to do, go to God first. Rather than researching everything and trying to get the world's wisdom, go to God first. Let God be your default. Now, some of us, we need to learn how to hear from God. We need to learn how to open up our understanding. But here's what the promise is. He has the wisdom. He will give it to you as much as you want, whenever you need it. Come on now. He's not some stingy God who has all these goody-goodies and he's not going to share them with you. He wants you to have wisdom. So he says, and it will be given to him, which means it's a guaranteed. Now, if you don't know what God is saying to you, keep asking him. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, it will be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened, the things that you are praying for in your life. God has the wisdom that you need, and he's the CEO of the galaxies. He's a really good person to talk to about it. Amen? For God never runs out of time. 2 Peter 3:8, but do not overlook this one fact, Peter says. Don't even overlook this. This is important. That with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. God is not constrained by the dimensions of time, like you and I. God sees time at a glance. He's outside of time. He's outside of time, space, matter, and energy. He's outside of this dimension. He exists in a separate dimension, but he also is in this dimension because he can do everything. But he is outside of time, which means that time, he has a different perspective when it comes to time. I mean, he sees the whole thing at a glance. He knows the future. He knows the past. He knows everything. He knows what's going to happen, and he happens to be God. So what that means is that God has this way where time is not a concern of God. He always shows up on time. He knows exactly what to do, when to do it. He's never out of time. He never runs out of time. He's never ahead of time. He's never behind in time. Amen? Now, this is important. In Joel 2:25, this is something you really would need to catch. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. Do you hear that? I will restore to you the time. I will redeem the time. I will restore to you the time. Now, have you ever been in a situation where you felt like years of your life has been squandered? See, God is God over that. That insufficiency of squandered time, he is a master over that. How does that happen? He takes what the enemy has done through that season of time. He takes what you have allowed to be squandered and wasted during a season of time, and he restores it to you and sets you ahead of schedule instead of behind schedule. How does he do that? Through supernatural restoration, through expedited fruitfulness. Let me tell you a story about my wife, Annie, really quick. Now, I married my wife, Annie, and she was new in God and new in ministry, and now she was exploding. My wife, Annie, explodes with spiritual gifts. I mean, she hears from God so clearly and so frequently, it's spooky to me. I'm like, man, God, like, why don't you just talk to me? Like, every time we pray, she's getting a word, she's seeing stuff. I mean, it's so accurate, and she's got a gift of the prophetic, I guess. She does. She just has it. I wish I had that. I hear from God, but it's just like, wow, really that clear? Just so spot on, just so easy for you every single time? Like, well, come on, God. Well, when I married her, I was already been in ministry for a good 10 years. I'd already been in ministry for years and years. And I knew that God had called me to be a pastor. I knew that I had big plans. I knew that God wanted to do great things, great and mighty things. And I'm like, you know what? Like, I needed her to catch up to me, in a sense. Well, we received a prophetic word over her that God was going to expedite the ministry growth in her life. In other words, God was going to catch her up to where we needed her to be for the ministry. And I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like this, man. This woman is incredible. In a short span of about 6 years, God has expedited her. Where it could take 15 years for somebody else, took her like 5 years. I'm telling you the truth. Everything that I was saying where it's like, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if I believe that. Ah, is that really? And then God would just give her a dream, give her a vision. It's like, okay, now you finally caught up to me. That sounds a little arrogant, doesn't it? It's a little bit true. And it's like God did this work in her and expedited and caught her up to redeem the time of the years that we had both lost having unfaithful spouses in our past. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Number five, God never lacks resources. Psalm 50:10, for the every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle on a thousand hills. Jesus summed it up quite simply. He just said, stop worrying about your resources. Stop worrying about it. Stop toiling about it. I know what you need. I have everything. I'm just going to make sure that you're taken care of. Now, still be a good steward. Be smart. Be planner. And do all those things. But just stop worrying about it because God is your resource. He says, be of good cheer, for I am here. Well, I'm behind in saving for my retirement. I don't know where we're going to live. We're house poor, or whatever it may be. God has got this thing taken care of for you. You just keep serving him. You just keep praying. You just keep seeking his wisdom. You just keep moving forward. And you do the best you can based on what God has given you and the wisdom that he's sharing with you. And God's going to make sure everything's okay. You start being generous in the kingdom of God. There's a whole series we did called Money Matters. I encourage you to listen to it. When you're generous and you're part of the assembly line, the distribution line, and you're part of the group that's actually distributing resources to other people, and you're giving and you're a generous person, God just has this way of just blowing on your resources and stretching what you have like the fishes and the loaves. He is the master over every resources. When you are limited with your fishes and loaves, God turns them into a mighty harvest that can feed thousands of people. Really? Yeah. He's God and he's sovereign over resources. That's what the Bible wants us to know. Where we are limited, he is unlimited. Where it's God's will, it's God's bill. I know that's... Finally, God has unlimited ability. We're going to wrap it up with this. God has unlimited ability. Now, I'm going to come from a scripture that is one of the most famous stories in the Bible. The story of David and Goliath. Because I want to make sure that we really understand what was happening here. Now, David was a mighty warrior, wasn't he? You know, I have this sense that when he had already been anointed king, he wasn't king yet, but that the prophet had already laid hands on him, and he already called him out and said, this is going to be the king of Israel. He's the king. David had kingship in his heart before he was even king. David had a protective nature. He had a faith and an understanding of who he was before he was fully in that role. Now, when Goliath had come on the scene, he's standing with the Philistines on one mountainside, the children of Israel and their armies on the other mountainside, and there's a huge valley in between. And so the Philistines sent their champion Goliath to walk down and start talking smack to the children of Israel. You know, the Bible says they were just shaking in their boots. Saul was scared. The warriors were scared. All of King David's brothers were scared. And nobody knew what to do. And Goliath was talking smack to them. Have you ever had your circumstances and your limitations talk smack to you? Come on. Have your circumstances and limitations ever stared you down and said, I've got you this time. You are overcome this time. You're not going to make it through this time. You're going to be subject to this limitation. You're going to be under the bondage of this setback and this limitation. That's what Goliath was doing. Defying the very armies of the living God. And here comes David after nobody else would lift a finger and everyone was too afraid. He says, I'm going to fight this Goliath. Now, when you look at it in the natural, ladies and gentlemen, David lacked the resources. David was limited in his ability because there's no doubt Goliath was a monster. He was a giant by comparison to David. Goliath, the Bible laid out all of his weaponry and all of the armor, all the things that he had at his disposal. And when David came to him, he laughed and said, what am I, a dog? You're going to send a ruddy little kid out here to fight me? Look at my stature. I'm strong. I'm mighty. I'm tall. And you are weak. You are short. You are limited. And you don't have the ability to take me on. This is a joke. You know what? In the natural, it was a joke. See, but David knew something that God wants us to know. Forget about the familiarity of this scripture and of this story and really glean what God wants you to glean. And David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword. You come to me with a spear. And you come to me with a javelin." Yes, David is saying, you're right. You have the ability to beat me up and whoop me up and to take me down. But your abilities are only in the natural. And David said, look, I come to you not with my natural abilities. I come to you not with my natural weaponry, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. In other words, I'm coming to you and I have the full backing, the full power, the full resources, the full strength of the living God who's going to back me up. And for this reason, David says, today you will be slain. I don't want to get too graphic. David goes out there with his limited ability and he takes this sling and he throws it at Goliath, knocks him out, and defeats Goliath. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who would defy the armies of the living God? Who is this limitation? What is this limitation in your life? Label it. Put a name on it. Who does this limitation think that it is to stop you from doing what God has called you to do, to stop you from prospering the way God has called you to prosper, to stop you from excelling and exceeding and walking in abundance of joy and peace and patience and love and kindness and everything that God has for you? Put a name on your limitation. Because it's nothing but an uncircumcised Philistine mocking the children of God. You are a child of God, and there's no weapon formed against you that shall prosper, and no tongue that rises against you is not able to be condemned by you when you speak against it. Come on, you are limited, but you have an unlimited God. You are constrained by time, but you have a God who's outside of time. You do need sleep, but you have a God who never sleeps nor slumbers. You do lack resources, but you have a God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You do run out of steam, but you have a God who never even grows weary. He never faints. He never lets up. He never needs to take a break. You serve a God who is fully sufficient in the midst of every weakness and limitation and insufficiency in your life. And it's time for the church to rise up and say, I will be of good cheer because Jesus is here right in the middle of my life, blessing me, sustaining me, providing for me, lifting me up, leading me forward. He is our God. We are his people. Somebody give God a mighty praise in the house of God. Whew. Let's sing it, sing it, sing it, sing it, sing it.